Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we are talking about Half Human,
a.k.a.
Jujin Yuki Otoko.
Ooh. I love it.
That's the way Google Translate pronounces it.
Oh, did you get the year?
Oh, so 1955 for...
Jujin Yuki Otoko.
And 1958 for Half Human.
Got it.
Sorry, I turned the volume down. I had to turn so it back up again.
Okay. I enjoyed the pause. All right.
So we knew we were watching Half Human. We knew where we were going to be watching Half Human. It's the classic archive.org. And then I go there and it's a Japanese movie, and I was like, oh, where's this thing that's got Robert Carradine
right in
it? And so that made me fish around and realize that there's two versions, just like almost every other black and white kaiju movie that we've seen. It seems like there's the American version, which is just like a re-editing and adding of scenes with an American actor. And we realized that we had to watch both, and that's what we did.
Right. Can I be honest? I kind of half watched the Americanized version.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was really frustrating to watch the American version because there's no like spoken dialogue in the Japanese footage. It's all narrated.
Right. It's all him narrating.
And that's tough.
And then they
through.
Did this. Yeah.
It was tough to sit through the second time because I'd watched.
Yeah, you kind of like because like we already know this part of the story. So then you kind of like, yeah. There's a few times where I kind of tried. It was hard to fast forward on that version of the video that we had,
right?
To get to the next like interstitial. You know, it's like basically cutting in between. You know, it's one thing that they that worked to their benefit was the original movie is basically a guy telling a story that we open and close with.
Right.
And so they were already set up to just go, oh, we'll just take those guys out and we'll just make our own story in it.
Right.
But so let's talk about the original kind of first, maybe.
Okay.
We can... if there's something that about the American movie that I think pop reminds us of about the American version of it, we can mention it. But I think I'm cool focusing on the original and then kind of finishing up with everything that they did for this American release.
Sounds good to me because there's not a whole lot, but there's at least one thing that I'm very excited to talk about in the American version. So
yeah.
So Ashira Honda, you said what year did you say? I'm sorry, I missed it.
55.
So this is a year after Godzilla.
Yeah,
cool.
I mean, but if you look at his credits, 54 55, he was busy. Like he was like there was like three movies that came out in 55. Godzilla Raids Again, I think, came out before this, or
wow,
same year maybe. I don't know exactly what date it came out, but I think it's listed that it came either on the heels or this came on the like he did a lot. He was very busy during this time.
Right. Okay. So we had a conversation about watching the American version. And we had, I think we had both watched the Japanese version by that point.
Yeah.
And you asked me if I had any, what did you say? You said something like, did you have any issues watching it? And I didn't know if you meant physically watching the file or dealing with sensitive issues in the movie.
No, I wasn't even at that point yet.
Okay.
When I said that.
Okay. Because I know...
I haven't... Maybe it's because I feel like I haven't been sleeping as much as normal. But I was kind of struggling getting through.
Okay.
Just this movie was like, it's like a bunch of people skiing and stopping into cabins, right, and more skiing.
Like the first half hour.
Trying to get people on the phone. It was just like, oh my gosh, it's just from just skiing and hanging out in cabins.
Yeah. That's like the first half hour or so. And when I was watching it, I felt like, cause I think they're climbing Mount Fuji, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And when I was watching it, I'm like, this feels like this stuff has never been shot before. And it's like really amazing footage.
It's a very pretty ski film. It's like, I was like, this movie is Ski Trip. And then there's a twist at the end.
Right.
It was kind of like, this is the Ski Trip movie that then becomes, you know, something else that we weren't expecting.
It's like three movies. It's like the ski movie and then the poachers movie and then the half human movie. I liked it all. And I thought when you're wondering if I had struggled getting through it was the fact that there's, I guess you could call them natives.
Okay. Right. Now, did you know that this movie got banned?
Banned
in
where?
Japan?
No.
In Japan. It got banned in Japan. The Toho basically took it away because of the depiction of those people.
Okay. Now, I think I read that before watching the movie. And so I was expecting the worst. And we've seen, like, usually when they say that, like the depictions, it's usually Japanese actors in blackface, like in the Gamera movie. I forget which Gamera movie, but then also King Kong versus Godzilla. Now, I was bracing myself for the worst when I saw these people.
Right, because you went, wait a minute, this is the one they banned.
Right. Because from what
like,
I saw,
this is the one they banned, but they didn't have a problem with the other one.
Right. When I saw it, I'm like, okay, there's some dark skinned people, but then there was two guys that looked like quarter humans.
Okay, right. Okay. So let me read you what it says. This is just IMDb trivia, okay?
Okay.
Toho had created a self-imposed ban on the film, and is thus not available on home video in Japan due to the negative manner in which the Burakumin, I don't know, pronunciation approximated, Nazi Ainu, as commonly believed, are portrayed as inbred mutant savages.
Okay.
However, the film is screened at like Shira Honda tribute kind of things at festivals. So it's the Burakumin they're like a class of outcasts. It's kind of like the Indian cast of the Untouchables, and so that's, it's like a Japanese version of that, essentially.
Okay.
This is just basically what I got off of like Wikipedia. So, you know, you can only take Wikipedia's.
Okay.
But so, yeah, so it's people kind of like, yeah, they kind of live a bit in isolation and they're kind of outcast people. It's not quite the, I don't know if it's quite the equivalent of the natives kind of depiction,
right.
But I think it's more that they were depicted as kind of like inbred types.
Right.
Cause like a lot of them had like droopy eyes and stuff, you know, there's like that. And
cause I was under the impression that they were almost descendants of like the Neanderthal man.
Well, and that is definitely a storyline that was definitely playing in my head.
Oh yeah.
As well on some ways. And then it gets, in a way, it gets emphasized in the American version.
Right.
But with the autopsy.
Okay, that's the thing I wanted to really talk about.
Well, we'll get there. We'll wait.
Okay, so did I say that I really like this movie? It is weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. What I liked about it, I think it feels like Japan's answer to King Kong.
Yes.
And there's a lot of stuff, and I feel like they, instead of having a lot of creatures in, you know, this like kind of untamed jungle, they just put skiing footage. They're like, well, we need to have people exploring, but they didn't have the, like, the, all the monsters to fight. The movie, it's interesting. So they're, one of the cabins they go to, first of all, the phone doesn't work, which I liked, because we see that in movies now where, like, they have to give an excuse why they can't use cell phones. So I thought that was fun. But so early on, we see a lady in the snow, and someone screams, and it turns out it's just a lady in like a fur coat with like a fur hat and stuff.
Right.
So they already kind of suspect that there's a abominable snowman.
Yeah.
But later on, they see the giant foot and it's a mystery. So I thought that was a little bit weird. Yeah. But I do like the mystery aspect of it.
Yeah, you're right. So it's tough also with the added American version, because like I go, oh yeah, the giant foot. I was like, I want to talk about the giant foot later too.
Oh yeah.
Right. There's definitely this, it starts out kind of like mystery, cabin horror kind of,
right,
you know, thing where it's like, they lose contact with their friends. They can't reach their
two buddies,
their cabin. And
they hear the screaming.
It finally connects, they get all they get is screaming.
Right. Right. It's hard to talk about this stuff without talking about the ending, but I do like the setup of this monster and all the horrible things this monster's done, because it sets up the fact, because like later on we're going to find out that it was just the avalanche that uh-huh. hurt him. And the turn, what I like about this more than I like the original King Kong is that the half human is sympathetic. And that's something we don't get in the first, in Kong or Son of Kong. I mean, we as an audience, me and you personally, are sympathetic towards Kong. Whereas the movie just treats Kong like a bad guy. And at the end, it's like, oh, thank God we killed the monster. And then right. Denim says something, you know, he says it wasn't, you know, the planes that killed the monster, it was beauty that killed the beast.
Right.
But even by the time we watched like Son of Kong, he's not really sympathetic. He's more just upset that he has to, you know, fix everything.
Totally.
So this movie, I like that we're to presume that the half human is a bad guy, right, and has destroyed, like messed up these friends and broke all their bones and stuff. We find like the dead bear, and we see that, you know, that it wasn't the bullet that hit the bear, but there was like claw marks. So it's kind of interesting how they set that up. Cause now at this, like, you know, by the time we really get into the movie more, we just assume that the half human is a bad guy.
Right.
But that changes, which I liked.
Yeah.
Because
not
only is he not a bad guy, he's a really good guy.
He touches her head with such gentleness.
Right. It's a little bit of a, like, she was sleeping, right? So it's a little creepy.
Yeah, it's creepy.
But I mean, he's like, oh, what am I doing? And then he takes off.
Well, she screamed.
I guess so.
It's like, oh, I guess that was, oh, okay.
One of the issues I did have with this movie, though, was like the abuse from the elder to Chica. Or Machiko? Was there Machiko? and also Chica, or was that the same person? Because they sound similar. I didn't know if Chica was a shortened version of Machika. No, I was getting confused on that. But the domestic abuse from the elder was a little bit much.
Well, Chica is the villager.
Right.
Machiko is the student, is one of the student girls.
Got it.
She's the other girl.
Got it. And the village girl is the one that talked to the half human. she did that crazy yell.
She's part of that village. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Okay.
So one of the poacher guys, he's actually this has like a Hitler mustache.
Yes.
Or a Chaplin mustache. And
he was a bad guy in the movie.
In the credits, I believe he's the one that's listed as Chubby Thug.
It's a good name for a band.
And I think I think he's the one that gives the monkey like this cake, this piece of cake, and then licks his fingers.
Oh,
after he gives the monkey this cake,
that's how you get disease.
This is, we're living in the time of coronavirus now, and we're holed up in our houses and everything like that. I go, oh, man, this affects everything now. Everything I watch now, it's like we went to see Invisible Man, and every time Elizabeth Moss would touch her face, I'd be like, stop touching your face. Before we were told to kind of all stay home.
Yeah, don't lick monkey.
Something that you don't get in the American version as much is the leg show.
Yeah. We also don't get the girl, dressed in the fur.
The glamour, that one glamour.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one glamour shot of her just sitting there, is it after they've hung that guy on the edge of the cliff, I think, and she's just watching him and the that guy hanging out the cliff. What'd you think of the bird? Is it puppets? Is it what?
I was trying to figure it out. They're definitely superimposed.
Yeah.
And they definitely sound hilarious. But I thought it was cool because I like the wide shot where he's hanging from the cliff and it's clearly like a stop motion puppet or some sort of little tiny puppet person.
Yeah.
I thought all that was cool. And again, I thought he was being sacrificed to the half human or the snowman, as they call him. So when the snowman comes and starts pulling up that dude dangling from that ravine, that's when you realize, oh, he's not gonna eat him.
Yeah.
He's letting him go.
And I'm
like, oh, awesome. Like, half human's a good guy. And I got so excited because, like, cool, I can root for the monster, especially with, like, you have these circus poachers and stuff going around. Right. That was a real turning point, like, for the movie for me, was I started getting really excited about it. Like, that's where it kind of different from, like, Kong. They just wanted to capture him and kill him. So it was cool seeing that this was a good guy. I thought the design is kind of neat, kind of creepy. His big forehead reminded me of Chewbacca's dad on the Star Wars Holiday Special. But
yeah, well, like the kid is very like Chaka.
Yeah, I wrote Chaka. I just referred to him as Chaka in the rest of my notes.
Yeah.
Which is fine because he also kind of had that Frankenstein look to him from not regular Frankenstein, but Toho Frankenstein.
He also kind of reminded me of in Solo, the other Wookiee who had his face didn't have as much fur
right.
as Chewie's did.
I want to say that was played by Anthony Daniels, that other Wookiee.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Maybe that's what I was thinking when I said Chewbacca's dad. But yeah, definitely like part Wookiee. I liked him. I thought he was cool looking.
It's great because I wasn't expecting that it'd be a little one.
No, and there was two because the one gets taken. And then we find out that there was a second one during that scene where it tries to break the adult one out of the truck.
No, that's the same one.
I thought they said it was the second one.
No.
Are you sure?
Well,
I think in the American version they say it's the second one.
No. No, because they say while they were capturing the big one, he got out of his ropes.
Oh, okay.
They show him like kind of like taking the ropes off his arms and stuff as he's walking, and I think even in the narration they say that he got out of his ropes.
Okay, all right. I wrote down that the half human kind of sounded like Sloth from the Goonies at some points.
Mm-hmm.
He had a lot of interesting roars and those, you know, interesting sounds. I was thinking,
man, it's always single dads with these kaiju,
right?
None of them ever have moms. It's always just like, I gotta take care of this kid.
I think Mothra's the only one. Yeah. But usually Mothra dies before the little ones are born.
Right.
Maybe that's what happens to all the other kaiju moms.
They all just leave. They all just abandon.
Yeah. Speaking of sounds, when they were in the caves, the bats sometimes sound like nose whistles. Like when you have like boogers in your nose and it like makes a whistle sound.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking it was me. Because it wouldn't do it all the time. It'd only do it sometimes. And I would hear that whistle and I'd be like, is that me? I like checked to make sure. No, it's not me. But it kept like. Oh my God. So, okay. This elder dude, right? He's been physically abusive this whole time. They blame
Chica for everything.
Right. And he's awful. And so you're kind of happy when he gets killed. But his last words are blaming her for everything.
Yeah.
Like, he's such an asshole.
Look what you did to us.
Yeah, you did this. And I'm like, what? Dude.
Oh my gosh.
I was so glad he died.
I had no idea.
What's that?
Okay, so the girl of the village? Chica? Sorry.
Yeah.
Is the woman of the village from King Kong versus Godzilla.
Oh.
The lead dancer.
The one with the big bra?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Dude, how do I remember that conversation from 3 years ago?
She's the one with the bigger bra. She's...
Because the one is Amiko from Yamane from Godzilla.
Yeah, it says she's...
Big bra dancer? Is that her credit on IMDb?
Her credit is Chihiro's mother, dancing girl.
Ah, my next note is Chaka Rescue.
Yeah, okay.
I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that whole truck sequence, especially because they're like puppet cars or little toy cars, and like
it goes off the cliff. Yeah, so good.
Tiny jeeps, puppet people.
Man, so good.
This is what I love about the Shiro Honda movies.
That made the movie for me. I was like going a little bit like, I don't know, but I was like, oh good. Yeah. Dolls going off of cliffs. I'm happy.
He really does the vehicles, like everyday normal vehicles with little people in them. It's like the best. It's like his signature thing. It was so good. I like that. Is this when the little one dies during the truck sequence?
Yeah, right after the truck sequence, he gets shot.
And then I keep calling him half human, even though they call him like snowman or other stuff. But he gets revenge and goes on like this insane rampage. It's funny seeing someone, because the half human is like bigger than like the people in the movie, but it's obviously not like kaiju size. Like, it's not a huge monster.
Right.
So it's kind of fun seeing that size of a person rampaging. And yeah, it was all her fault. So then it kind of turns into King Kong, where the half human takes the girl up into the woods.
Right.
And well, I'm wondering.
By the way, when he's carrying his kid, it's like he's carrying it in the head.
Yeah.
He's got one arm just kind of like, it's like.
Well, that's the good thing about this movie, unlike our last episode, where like when it was carrying the bear and stuff, it was like obviously a dummy bear. So
Yeah.
that was kind of nice. I didn't have to worry about that. And then yeah, that when he was carrying Chaka around, it was definitely a dummy Chaka. So wait, I don't know if I fully understood the reason why he took the girl, other than to make a new Chaka, right?
It's listen, okay. This is, yeah, because we have both versions that we're discussing, and because the Japanese version translates to just something like Beast Man something, or it's basically that's all it is. So it's really the American version that emphasizes the half humanness.
But okay, can we talk about the version we watched? Can I talk? I want to talk about this right now. This whole half human. Like, okay, so there's this
Oh, trying to find the American version?
No, just to talk about the autopsy real quick,
Yeah.
where they have the autopsy and the doctor says this half of the skull is human and this half
Yeah.
of the skull is something else, and then he talks about the body and he
Not only
says
that, he's
this.
pointing at it laterally, like it's the
Right.
left half and the right half.
Right.
It's like,
Which makes
what?
no sense.
How do
But
genes what?
he's going through this whole thing about how one half is a human and the other half is a beast. And then
Yeah.
he finally looks up toward the camera to say the titular line, which is it's a half human. And the version
And
we
it
saw,
skipped.
the footage drops
The
out.
footage skips.
It's like a
And
joke.
like he's a I know
It was
that the payoff.
hilarious that the American version was literally saying it's a half human. So anyway, he took the girl to make a baby Chaka because his son has died and he needs another one.
And they owe him one. Here's the problem. Is because you started also being like because the villagers that had prosthetics on, they definitely looked more like Neanderthal,
That's, I think they're failed Chakas.
qualities to them, that they were also half humans or something
Right.
else. And so, but the problem, yeah, it's like the theory is an interesting theory. But the thing is, I was sitting there trying to figure out. So then, what? Though she has to have this baby. She has to carry the baby.
Yeah.
And then what? And then he steals it, or they leave it for him in through the cave. By the way, I like how the cave is full of those skulls and bones and stuff that,
Right.
of all like.
Well, that one was kind of cool too, was that when they found the dude's body and he was like a skeleton and stuff, and then they had a note attached to him, or he had a note with him explaining that it was the avalanche that hurt him, and that the half human brought him
Right.
into the cave and took care of him. And I was like, that's kind of cool. Like it
Yeah.
taught the it was a way to teach the people that the half human isn't bad.
Right.
So if the girl has a baby with the half human, do they have a three quarters human? And what part of the skull?
Oh yeah, three quarter human, a quarter human. Yeah,
Well, okay, well, which
a
one's
quarter
half?
beast, a quarter yeti, and a quarter.
Three quarters
You're right, three
human.
quarters, I guess, in theory. Yeah. Speaking of shoddy science, I want to also talk about in the American version how he says, "Oh, we preserve the footprint. We made a model of the footprint," and he brings out, and it's like a big chunk of styrofoam with a footprint cut out of it. And I was like, "Hang on, you're telling me that they made a cast of a footprint in snow, and then with that made a foam footprint? You can't. If you, I was like, if you make a plaster cast, plaster gets hot
Right.
as it starts forming. It would melt the snow. You'd lose the whole thing." And I was like, but somehow they have this cast that they can, like, they're all like sticking their hands in it and
Yeah,
checking
the
it out.
cast was
It's
also like 3 feet deep.
Yes.
Like these, like he was saying, like, oh, the amount of pressure that it would take to make a footprint this deep is something big.
Chunk.
And I'm like, holy shit, dude, that guy like went down like 3 feet into the snow. That's not what I saw. It was, yeah, that was off.
He must be 9 feet tall, 1,800 pounds. Yeah, I'm now veering into the American version. I mean, we covered. I mean, did we finish it? I mean, it's like.
The only thing we didn't talk about is the volcano lair and the puppet pit. Which as soon as you first see that pit, as soon as you see the pit, you're like, okay, a puppet is going down into that pit.
Oh, yeah. And that's right. Also playing on your theory when Chica goes after the monkey with a knife. Not the monkey, the half-human. The adult Chaka with the knife. You're calling the dad Chaka? You're calling them all Chakas?
No. The little one's Chaka, obviously.
Right.
The big one, they call half-human.
Yeah, oh, by the way, do you know what was the race that Chaka belonged to?
Oh no,
the Pakuni.
Oh.
Now I'm gonna Google just to make sure I was right, because I second guess myself. But she goes after him with a knife, and especially when I watch, like, oh, she goes after him with a knife. But then when I'm rewatching the American version, as soon as she goes after him with a knife, I'm in my head, I'm going, "You cheating bastard!"
Just... yeah, he. Oh man, the American confirmed version. Bikuni. Yeah. Okay. That American version, like, really is tough to sit through. But the stuff they added.
Yeah.
The...
It's like, at first I go, oh, he's going to narrate this whole thing. And then he's like, and then he's even narrating over, you see that they're talking.
Right. There's no dialogue. Like, they don't dub any of the Japanese stuff. It's all narration. And I'm like, oh my gosh. This might be okay if I was listening to it on a record or something, but I can't sit here and watch this again. And then it's just them. When they cut to the American guys, they're just sitting in an office. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like the shittiest set. But when they get to the autopsy, when he says...
Then they get to the guy, yeah.
Yeah, then they said, okay. He said, oh, we got the body of the young one. I'm like, oh shit, are we really doing this? And then they have it under the sheet. I'm like, oh my God, they're going to show it. And then they show it. And I couldn't tell if it's the same costume. It looked a little different.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out if they got it sent to them or if they made their own. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, but it was kind of cool.
It seemed a little different, but also the footage was better. So I was like, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the American stuff really didn't add much more to it. I wouldn't recommend sitting through the whole thing unless you just want to see like the funny autopsy dude on the table.
There's a part in the American where he brings up the strange mountain people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, strange mountain people? Were these people savages? And he says, not to the point of eating their own dead.
Okay.
I like how they're out because they ask, like, how come he touched her so tenderly if he's such a killer?
Yeah. Is it David Carradine?
I began to speculate that he found women attractive. it's Robert Carradine. David Carradine is Kung Fu.
Okay. He kept touching his ears, and I'm like, why does he keep touching his ears? It was bothering me.
What about, you know, the guy who played the doctor who did the autopsy was great. And he definitely, he had so much business. He did so much.
Right.
And like this is my moment in this movie. I'm just going to sit and I'm going to do everything. And I'm going to sit and just keep, because I have to tell this whole big speech. He washed his hands, mm-hmm. which is something I notice now. I was like, all right, you're washing your hands. Up, that
not
was
20 seconds.
That was 17 seconds, sir. You go back and finish washing your hands.
You just touched a chaka.
His anatomy at maturity would be almost human. Wink.
I'm fresh out of notes.
That's it. That's the end of the movie. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on it, other than the skiing?
It's fine. It's not. I don't think it's gonna get in like the rewatch.
Mm-hmm.
It's not gonna be much of a rewatch. You know, I'm not gonna probably. There's other Ishiro Honda movies. I'd pick over it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
But I like, listen, it's, yeah, I like.
It was like.
I like hearing the Hendersons.
It was weird. Yeah. It was weird, though. It was, like, different. Like, yeah, it's funny because, like, it was interesting that they kind of veered away from the main group and followed these poachers for a while.
Yeah.
And that was kind of interesting. But
yeah, it was having the poacher story going along with it. Was interesting. Like, you really was like, man, they just cut the whole poacher stuff out of this one when you start watching the American version, until they had to find be like, oh, we need to talk about how the kid gets killed. So I guess we gotta do something about that.
They kind of glossed over it a little bit, but it was I like that it was kind of King Kong like, but different enough that it was sympathetic and. The creature kind of looked cool and scary at the same time. Yeah, it's like after you get through the skiing stuff, it's pretty exciting. It felt like that. The beginning felt a lot like Rodan in the mystery of it, even though at the beginning it says that, you know, the story of the abominable snowman. So we kind of are waiting for it to happen.
Right.
And we see the footprint and stuff, and then the lady screams at the other woman wearing the furs. So we kind of already know that it's what it's supposed to be, but it's cool that it's set up like a bad guy, like where should be afraid of this thing, but it's actually a good guy.
Yeah.
So, and the bad guys get punished, and the good guys, well, they're okay. I think they get some of the brunt of this stuff, but it's mostly avalanche damage. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was really cool.
And Chica gets shit on by everybody.
Yeah, but that guy dies. But yeah, I mean, considering it's like what a year after Godzilla, it's kind of cool. It's fun to see. Like, we get a lot more of the creature than we do, like say, like Matango. But it's kind of cool because it still has that similar feel, like a group of people going into the jungle and stuff.
Yeah. I think that there's definitely like a lot of achievements in this. I mean the opening is an interesting. He does set up a pretty interesting mystery of we've lost contact with our friends.
Mm-hmm.
We keep trying to get them on the thing. There's definitely a lot. That is great.
Mm-hmm. It feels like Ishiro Honda light. It's not like the full blown spectacle of like a battle in outer space. It's slowly starting to build up this kind of genre, I guess.
Yeah, he's listen. I mean, he can't. He still pulled out Gojira beforehand. So, you know, he's like, you know, it's like some are more hits than others, like as far as like mm-hmm. just like, wow. I think he really comes into his zone when color shows up.
Right.
As far as it, for my taste, I just think that the way he does the looks of stuff, uh-huh. it just gets really good.
Yeah. It's interesting that King Kong versus Godzilla is the first color one, and they have to go and do blackface. But yeah, like this is probably around the same time as Varin, huh?
Yeah, I bet.
I love Varin. Yeah, that's gonna be in my top 10 for sure. Spoilers. Somewhere, I love that movie. But yeah, I think we're better off watching like with Varin. We watched it as two separate episodes. Which is good. I'm glad we watched this one, both of them, for the same.
Yeah,
episode.
I mean, if we knew, yeah, if we had caught the Varin problem ahead of time, we probably would have done it as well.
Yeah, but we liked it so much, and the differences were enough to where, you know, I mean, Varen didn't even fly in the Americanized version.
Right.
So, yeah, that movie was a complete stinker. It would have sucked to go back and have to watch it all over again. I think with this one, it's nice to just kind of get them both out of the way. I definitely like the Japanese version more. And, yeah, I think as we start, like, closing out the regular list for the rest of this year, like, I am just continuing to look forward to, like, Ishiro Honda movies.
Yeah.
Because there's, even if it's, you know, even if you have to sit through a half hour of skiing, there's some interesting stuff in there still. And, yeah. And there's, I don't know what it is about how his movies just have that feel. You know, usually we think about like the sci-fi sort of like sets and stuff and the model work, but this doesn't have like really any sci-fi stuff to it other than the creature, but it still has that feeling of an Ishiro Honda movie. It's crazy. You know, we're not getting like, you know, rocket ships or space cities, but it still has that feel. Like Matango was the same way. Like it was more of a contemporary thing. It was more like a horror movie, but it's still, I don't know how he does that. Cause even other movies that aren't directed by him, like Godzilla movies and stuff from the same era, don't feel like him. So yeah, it's, I'm excited for more. It's going to suck when we run out.
Yeah.
But, and I heard something recently. I heard that Battle in Outer Space is coming to Blu-ray.
Is it really?
Yeah, with a movie I think called H-Man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a double feature.
All right, cool.
So
I think H-Man, I think we put that on our list.
Yeah, maybe we should wait for the Blu-ray.
Oh.
So we're not stuck watching another. I'm assuming H-Man is Honda.
Yeah, H-Man is a DVD rip.
Okay, cool. So it'll look decent. It'll look good. It's not going to look like Mysterians.
No, it won't look like Mysterians. It won't, right. Yeah. Cool. The guy who put the Japanese version of this movie on the archive.org thing, he did a whole thing of, I guess the version that people were getting had a time code on it, yeah. And he did like a scrub on it, so like it kind of blended it out in a way.
Yeah, yeah, I noticed that. That's good. Yeah, I don't know. This, since they banned it in Japan, was it just like, is it like impossible to find like original negatives or prints or something?
I don't know.
It didn't look too bad. It didn't look too bad. The American version looked better, but unfortunately was just full of narration. It sounded like an audiobook.
Yeah, it was just annoying. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just cheesy. It's just like, it was like,
yeah,
more of this. That's basically what it just kind of ended up being.
Yeah.
It's like, we've been exposed to it before, so we're kind of like, all right, I guess this is how we do it for a while still.
Yeah.
You know, we just got to wait for the time to get to where they just start dubbing and subtitling and not for American and not trying to make a whole nother movie.
Yeah.
With white people.
All right. Next episode. You ready for this?
No, I'm not.
We're going to get it over with. Apparently, this is the best one of the series. I don't know if that's saying too much.
Well, it's a low bar.
Right. We're watching Rebirth of Mothra 3.
Da, da, da.
We've already got Diamogen in the rearview mirror, and now we're going to get the Rebirth of Mothra series back there too. So I'm excited to watch it because it's Mothra, but man, I still kind of have some of those fresh in my mind.
I'm excited to getting these done.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of this one feels more like a requirement, this one, but who knows? We might be surprised. I'm not holding my breath, but yeah, I mean, after like the last few episodes, like Polgasari and this movie, it'll be fun to get into like the 90s or early 2000s or something. Yeah. And watch something completely different. So yeah, you can watch that on kaijupod.com. You also get links to our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. And yeah, look forward to that in a couple weeks. And yeah, until next time. Oh boy. I did not think this one out. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go take a hike in the snow and then kick back in a cabin.
Yeah, you know, so the also like the night skiing with like the flares.
Yeah.
That was just to get cool skiing footage.
Right.
You know, I'm just going to go wash my hands.
Make sure you hit the extra 3 seconds.
This is the era we live in.
I know. So, fingers crossed that we get this Rebirth of Mothra 3 episode out.
All right. Alrighty.
That's good.
Take it easy.